Now, of course, change affects all things, affects even Buddhism. And we find that later on in the history of Buddhism, maybe after the death, after the parinirvana of the Buddha, the wanderers, the full-timers, ceased to wander. Or they wandered just occasionally, but they tended to settle down permanently in one place. It seems that at first, at the end of the rainy season retreat, instead of going off on their wanderings, they stayed on a bit longer. And in the end, you know, they stayed on so long, and the rainy season retreat was coming around again, they said, well, it's not much use, you know, going off and wandering now. Let's just stay put and, you know, observe the next rainy season retreat. So in this way, they started staying permanently in one particular spot. And of course, as they were staying permanently, they could no longer stay in little temporary sheds and at the, you know, foot of trees and in caves. People started providing them with permanent accommodation. And this is how the so-called monasteries arose. In the Buddhist day, there was no such thing as a monastery. All that the full-timers had, including the Buddha, was little leaf shelters, such as you find put up in India even today for coolies. They used to stay in these, in someone's back garden. Sometimes, you know, rather naive translators refer to the Buddha as sitting in the doorway of his monastery. And you imagine a great palatial building, something like St. Paul's Cathedral, with the Buddha sitting there on the step, maybe, in the early morning. But there was nothing like that at all in the time of the Buddha. Just little leaf shelters, or little bamboo and thatch cottages for the full-timers to stay in and live in, or take shelter in. But even though the wanderers ceased to wander and settled down in one spot and observed a sort of perpetual rainy season retreat, the actual rainy season retreat retained all its original importance. So much so that the rainy season retreat was observed all over the Buddhist world, even where there was no rainy season. When Buddhism went up to the deserts of Central Asia, or when it went across to the waste lands of northern China, or when it went up into Tibet, well, there was no rainy season. But anyway, they went on observing that the rainy season retreat at that particular time, nevertheless. And we might even say that the tradition has been continued in this country, because we have our sort of summer retreat. The Sarvastivadins of Central Asia, and the Chinese, by the way, didn't speak any longer of rainy season retreat. That would have been ridiculous. They spoke of summer retreat. So even we have our summer retreat, even though it only lasts for 2 or 3 weeks instead of for 3 or 4 months. And we can even say that even after the wanderers, even after the full-timers settled in one spot and started inhabiting what became monasteries, the rainy season retreat in India and elsewhere was not only continued, it was even developed. And the retreat, the rainy season retreat, or the summer retreat, became a period of particularly intensive effort on the part of all concerned, especially the full-timers. And they used to have, during the retreat, during the rainy season or the summer retreat, more intensive meditation courses, or courses of lectures on the scriptures, or study classes in the scriptures. Everybody would be making a much more intense effort than usual during that period. And also, it was very often the custom in a number of Buddhist countries that at the end of the rainy season retreat, or towards the end of that period, ordinations would be given. Fresh people would be initiated as full-timers or as monks. And of course, still at the end of this rainy season retreat also, this very intense period of practice and study, there would be the great celebration on the occasion of the Kartik Purnima, the full moon day of Kartika. So it's very easy now for us to see, for us to appreciate, how this particular day, the Kartika Purnima day, the last day of the rainy season retreat, should have become Sangha day, should have become the day especially associated with the spiritual community or the spiritual fellowship.